Hey guys, Mike Verkes from the Second Shift Podcast here to talk to you about PIASE. Back in 1996, I had two certifications to manage, my state license and national registry. That was it. Fast forward 20-some years later, and what I would give to have just two. Between my advanced certifications, ACLS, PALS, PHTLS, you name it, I'm looking at upwards of 10 certifications to manage. That's where PIASE saves my bacon. I simply add my certs, expiration dates, and bam, no more surprises. Take pictures front and back and share those credentials with whoever needs them. With the touch of a button, it's easy. Go to the App Store now for your device and search for PIASE, P-I-A-C-E-T, PIASE. Do it today.
The content of this podcast is based on medical fact and evidence-based practice from credible authoritative sources, but is not a substitute for your institution's policies, procedures, common sense, or good judgment. The views and opinions are those of Eric Bauer and FlightBridge Ed in their entirety. This is the FlightBridge Ed Podcast, critical care and emergency medicine education for nurses and paramedics. Here's your host, Eric Bauer.
Hey everybody, Eric back with you. In today's podcast, we're going to go over two labs that I think are very, very important for not only advanced certification exam testing, but we're also going to tie those into two endocrine emergencies that I think are essential to understand. Many test questions related to this get a lot of questions in class on these. And so we're going to specifically talk about serum osmolality and urine specific gravity. And we're going to tie those into diabetes insipidus and SIADH. Now, I know everybody loves endocrine emergencies just like I do. And I think that is why we have to go over this, because it is not the sexy topic. And those are the types of questions that will get you. So we have to understand this stuff. So with serum osmolality, if we make this as simple as possible, is the amount of solute in the serum part of the blood. We have a range of 275 to 295. And you can easily remember that if you remember a sodium range of 135 to 145, and you simply double that range, that is going to be your serum OS. So if we said we had a high serum OS, that's going to be a number on the high end of that range. That's going to be seen in a diabetes insipidus patient, and that is a concentrated state. And it's a concentrated state because we're shedding water, and we will get into that in more depth. If we compare that to a low serum osmolality, that indicates a dilutional state because we're holding on to water. We have an overstimulation of ADH. So ADH is all about the posterior pituitary regulating either by withholding or secreting that ADH to maintain a normal volume status. So if we continue and we start tying this into SIADH and diabetes insipidus. Let's start with SIADH. With SIADH, what we have is we have a problem with an overstimulation of ADH. That overstimulation of ADH is caused by multiple factors. Could be carcinomas of the lung. It could be head trauma. Could be meningitis, CVAs. It could be as simple as a viral or bacterial pneumonia or other pulmonary related disease processes. But essentially what happens is our body senses that there's a substance, an enzyme that stimulates through the posterior pituitary that ADH. And so remember, in that context, in SIADH, we have an overstimulation of the ADH, and that's based on one or multiple factors that we just talked about as far as physiology. ADH causes water retention. So the posterior pituitary will release that. Our body will hold on to water, right? We don't pee. Well, if that happens in great amounts or continuously, we're obviously going to start retaining water. We have an impaired renal excretion of that water. That's obviously going to cause some electrolyte imbalances. So let's talk about what you're going to see in these patients. You're going to see a dilutional hyponatremia because we're holding on to all that water. We're going to have more volume compared to all of our solutes. But because we have an ADH problem, we're not going to be peeing. So these patients are going to be holding on to all this volume. I think the amazing thing is that there's no edema. There's not going to be any outside visible signs of edema. And that's because of the low sodium state. So the fluid shifts from the extracellular space into the cell. And so this can cause cerebral edema. It can cause neurological changes because of that dilutional hyponatremia. Now, we've talked in other podcasts kind of very briefly. Most often when you start seeing sodiums drop below 120, maybe down to 115, that's pretty critical in those situations. And those are the patients that are going to have altered mentation. Now, with that concentrated urine, let's kind of bring in our second lab. And that second lab is going to be what's called the urine-specific gravity. And urine-specific gravity is a lab that tells us the concentration or the measurement of the concentration of the urine. And we have a range of 1.005 to 1.030. And this is the ratio of urine density to water density. So when we look at a patient like SIADH, if they have a hemoconcentrated urine state, right, they're going to have a low serum osmolality. So a low serum os meaning lower, down on that low end of 275, because they're dilutional, right? Cellular hydration is very high because of the shifts from the extracellular to the intracellular fluid compartment. But their urine is going to be super concentrated because we're not peeing. And so the specific gravity could be on the top end of 0.030. Remember, our range is 1.005 to 1.030. So it would be on that high end. How do we treat these patients? Well, remember, because of the hyponatremia, that dilutional state, they're definitely going to have altered mentation. They're definitely going to mimic that CVA type of a patient. So we always want to watch them closely. Always remember that cerebral edema is a big, big factor in that mentation. They may be just simply confused. They may have some just basic mood changes. They may even go into a seizure. So we talked about a podcast where we talked about a dilutional hyponatremia. It wasn't related to SIADH, but remember, just simply bringing that sodium up past that 120 point brought the seizure down to nothing, right? It stopped the seizure. So how are we going to treat SIADH? Remember, your serum osmolality is going to be on the low end. Remember, the range is 275 to 295, but your urine-specific gravity is going to be on the high end. So because these patients have all this volume, what you're going to see is, number one, fluid restriction. We are not going to give fluid. They're going to be started on a hypertonic solution, so probably 3%. That's going to be administered at probably 1 to 2 mils per kilo per hour. And, you know, it's a slow rise. When you talk to physicians about this, they say that if they know for a fact that the sodium dropped quickly, it's pretty safe to raise it fairly quickly. But I think a lot of times you don't really know that. So it's always best to raise the sodium very, very slowly. And really in transport, that's not going to be our job. Our job is going to be to maintain this patient in a stable state. Number three, we're going to definitely want to diurese them. So Lasix at 1 milligram per kilo is often administered. And really, when you look at the sodium, if you're going to look at this for more of a long-term care type of thing, the sodium increase is only going to be probably 0.5 milliequivalents per liter an hour. So very, very small increments. Now, obviously, ultimately, the overall identification of the cause of SIADH has to be done, but that's not going to be our problem. We have to maintain these patients in that state. We have to be able to understand, why is this patient holding on to volume? Why are they so volume overloaded? Why is their serum os so low? They have so much cellular hydration or engorgement of those cells, but they're not peeing. Why is their urine-specific gravity so high? Now, let's compare that to our next disease process. And our next disease process is going to be kind of just the opposite. And so this is definitely a situation where you have a low amount of ADH. So instead of in SIADH, the body, the posterior pituitary, releasing excess ADH, in a diabetes insipidus patient, we have low amounts of ADH secretion. So this can have a big, big factor in overall loss of water. So imagine these patients are going to diurese 6 or more liters a day. And that's going to cause, again, we got to think about this from the cellular side versus the extracellular compartment. So the intracellular compartment is now going to be what? It's going to actually be concentrated. So our serum osmolality is going to be on the high end. We're going to have a 295, maybe a 300, a 310, maybe even greater than that. But what's going to happen is, remember, these patients are peeing up to 6 liters or more a day. The urine is going to be very, very clear in color. It's not going to be concentrated. So in this situation, remember, we have a high serum osmolality, but our urine-specific gravity is going to be on the low end. And so that is going to be, again, 1.005. It may even be lower than that in some cases. Sometimes in these patients, you see your specific gravities at 1.001. So when we look at these patients, your sodiums, your electrolytes, your sodium is going to now be hemoconcentrated. You're going to have a high sodium level. You're going to have a high serum osmolality, but again, a low specific gravity. Well, what causes diabetes insipidus? Well, head trauma, it could be infection, it could be tumor. And remember, those were a couple things that were highlighted in SA-ADH. So you can have either one of these manifest. And that's why it's very, very important to go back and understand the labs, because the labs, if you have patient one with head trauma and patient two with head trauma, it comes down to the labs. What is the serum osmolality? What is the urine specific gravity? And that's going to hone you in on the overall differential diagnosis. Dilantin, lithium, other medications can actually induce diabetes insipidus. So when we look specifically at these patients, right, they're going to be super, super dehydrated because they're shedding all that water. They're going to be tachycardic. They're going to have excessive thirst. The electrolyte imbalances are going to cause them to have a headache. They're going to be very irritable. They could definitely have muscle spasms. And I think when you look at just in the purest form, you look at patient number one with a dilutional hyponatremia versus patient number two with a hemoconcentrated sodium. That high sodium state is often going to be corrected by the patient, right? In a normal patient, they're going to be thirsty. They're going to want to drink water. They're going to want to fix that problem. Whereas in a dilutional state, they really can't do that, right? They have too much. They're going to be altered oftentimes. So I think that's the big, big difference. So how do we treat diabetes insipidus? The treatment is actually synthetic vasopressin. Desmopressin, DDAVP is the key. That's usually a test question on the exams. You're definitely going to continue to monitor that urine-specific gravity. You're going to monitor the patient for cardiac-related anomalies. Again, continuously looking at these patients from the electrolyte imbalance standpoint. And again, you got to get control of the overall diagnosis. Why did this happen? So this is a secondary problem. You got to fix the big elephant in the room before this is going to subside. I think it's important to understand both serum osmolality and urine-specific gravity. I think these are two disease processes that really highlight the importance of understanding these. You're definitely going to see this in different types of electrolyte imbalances. It's important to be able to look at a comprehensive metabolic panel and notice, hey, I've got a dilutional hyponatremia. What's my urine-specific gravity? What is it doing? And be able to answer those questions. And we may do a follow-up podcast on just that dilutional hyponatremia or that hemoconcentrated sodium state and kind of talk about that in more depth, not related to overall SI-ADH or diabetes insipidus. So again, until next time, I appreciate everybody. I appreciate all the downloads. Continue to download, share it with your friends. This is all free education, and we appreciate you, and we will talk to you soon.
This has been a production of the Flight Bridge Ed Podcast, leading the way in pre-hospital critical care and emergency medicine education.